Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Fresno to Philadelphia, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. It's a Trash Tuesday, so we want to know what you're trashing, who you're trashing. This is where all aggrieved parties can come to properly vent about what aggravates them, especially around the holidays. So hit us up on Twitter with your trashes. DA on CBS is the handle. I'll read through those. DA on CBS on Twitter. Also, send us your trashes verbally by dialing us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. We've got a big show coming up here for you. Randy Cross is going to join us, College Football Hall of Famer, CBS Sports Network analyst. We'll talk to Randy about the college football playoff. The matchups are set and some decisions that the playoff committee had that either he agrees with or disagrees with. So we'll talk to Randy coming up here in about an hour from now. Also, we've got the 1 versus the 4 in the Peach Bowl. And joining us from the Peach Bowl, CEO Gary Stokin's going to drop on by discussing the LSU versus Oklahoma matchup. And he'll drop on by in studio in about 35 minutes from now. Also, we'll talk about last night's Monday Nighter. Do the Eagles deserve credit for beating an atrocious Giants team? Odell Beckham, interesting story from Yahoo Sports yesterday, as somebody close to Odell describes him as lost and trying to land his way perhaps back in San Francisco or New England. We've also got Steven Strasburg setting a record for a pitcher with his contract yesterday with the Washington Nationals. What did that do to affect the offseason landscape in Major League Baseball? All of that coming up this morning on the show. Plus, number 10 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. Number 10, as we count down the most memorable moments of 2019 here on the show. But let's begin in Foxborough, because we have a story that the nation is talking about regarding the Patriots and videotaping. Stop me if you've heard this one before. The New England Patriots website has a series that focuses on and profiles people within the organization. It's called, of course, Do Your Job. Cue eye roll. They were profiling an advanced scout And this past weekend in the Bengals-Browns game, the profile was done about the advanced scout in advance of playing the Bengals. So he was at Browns-Bengals. The Patriots production crew went there, filmed him, and also apparently filmed the sidelines of the Bengals. Now, when this was brought to the attention of the Bengals, they mildly flipped out. This was a game in Cleveland, and so the Patriots said, hey, we got a credential through the Browns. We didn't alert the Bengals. That's our bad, but this isn't footage we would use for football purposes. This is just for the website. When caught and approached by the Bengals, the Patriots staffer, who is actually a production company staffer, but the Robert Kraft Productions, said, sorry, you want to delete it? We can delete it. Right now, the league has the footage. It will not be released. Patriots videotaping opponents. We have some history here. But it's the Bengals, right? It's the Bengals. Do you really need to steal signs or get advanced footage? Do you really need to push the boundaries for the Bengals, who are 1-12? Do we actually believe the Patriots were spying on the Bengals? It's where we begin. You're cold open.
I have absolutely nothing to do. We have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce, direct, or shoot, or anything. I've never even seen any of their tapes or anything else. So this is something that we 100% have zero involvement with.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
There is so much to unpack with something like this because there's so much history here. Okay, let me give you my overview. Do I think the Patriots were worried enough about the Bengals at 1-12 to want to cheat stealing signs? No, I don't. Maybe that's naive, but I just don't think the Patriots would feel the need to have to steal Bengals signs when the Bengals are the worst team in football. Okay? Is it possible that the Patriots push boundaries every single day, and that this is one of the boundaries that they consistently push, and that their motives are not always on the up and up? Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, do I think Belichick or Ernie Adams, the shadow figure in the Patriots organization, says to a staffer, says to the production team, hey, go to Cincinnati, act like you're doing a profile on one of the scouts, bring back the footage because we want to see how Zach Taylor's calling the offense? No, I don't. I'm sorry. Maybe that's naive. I just don't think they would go to that extent against the freaking Bengals. But here's what I know. There is a culture and a history of the Patriots pushing boundaries. It is part of the reason they are so good for so long. They're always looking for an edge. They're always looking for intel. They're always looking for a loophole. So, do I think that there has been history here of things like this happening? Well, yes. By the very definition of this incident, this is what Spygate was. Spygate was sending crews or filming opposing sidelines, and then if caught, this is actually from the reports. If caught, the Patriots told the videographers to say it was for team videos. It was for the team website videos. They actually did this way back when. So, it's hard to trust that they always have the best motives. It's kind of impossible. In this instance, do I think they're looking for an edge on the Bengals by videotaping the sideline? I just don't, because the Bengals are so bad. And because they were caught red-handed with Spygate and docked a draft pick, gosh, they are ruthless, but I gotta think that they would avoid the same type of fate. I do believe, though, the culture behind the scenes within the Patriots organization is to always be pushing the boundaries. So in this case, you have a footage team, a production team that's employed by the team, employed by Robert Kraft. And they go on the road to videotape the quote-unquote advanced scout, and they're gonna videotape the sidelines as well. Now, they could have not videotaped the sidelines. They could have done an advanced scout weeks ago and looked back on him instead of actually doing it the week before he was going to be playing the Patriots. You know, take a scout that was looking at something and then release it weeks later. Not right when it was going to be happening, but okay. All right, fine. We believe that the Patriots, in this case, at least I do, was it trying to get an upper hand on the Bengals? But when you have Ernie Adams behind the scenes logging footage of opposing sidelines each and every week for years, which is how Spygate originally got nailed to him, and you know their never-ending thirst for intel on opponents and pushing boundaries by deflating footballs and getting luggage and equipment lost at the airport and Spygate and all of this, you know, they don't really ever get the benefit of the doubt for, as a culture in the organization, always having the best intentions. We'll say that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And I do think after Deflategate, one of the reasons the Patriots barked back at Deflategate so much was because they felt it was an overreaction, an overpunishment by Roger Goodell. And it was. However, it was because the league has felt for a long time that the Patriots have done duplicitous things, that they have done underhanded type of things for a long time. And this was overpenalizing for a lot of stuff that had happened historically. Okay? And so now, when you have the Robert Kraft massage parlor situation pop up last year, and the league kind of wants to let that sleeping dog lie, we're not going to get into it. We're not going to suspend him. We're not going to fine him. We're not going to scold him. There has been an agreement after Deflategate of both sides trying to be better partners, the Patriots and the NFL, Goodell and Kraft. That has been an agreement because they realized that had gone overboard for too many months and ripped apart the league from the interior, owners hating owners, having to side with or against the Patriots, and they didn't want that again. So they have agreed to have a better partnership, which is why yesterday I thought this was interesting. The Patriots issue a statement and take culpability. We're sorry we didn't alert the Bengals. It won't happen again. Yada, yada, yada. That's not normally the Patriots' tact. We know this. It is fight. We're not wrong. You're wrong. You're painting us into a corner with this persecution complex that they love in New England. Patriots, we're sorry. We should have let the Bengals know. That's our fault. There's a lot baked into within this league, the Patriots always looking for a hook. And in a case like this, the league as a whole, they're not going to fine the Patriots. They're not going to dock them draft picks. But the league as a whole doesn't trust the Patriots because of their history. And I can't blame them. I can't blame the league. You know, when you have 20 years of petty theft, and then the guy comes over for a Christmas party and your watch is missing, and guess what? You tend to believe It would the guy that has 20 years of petty theft under their belt. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. John is first up. He's in Binghamton, New York, listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you, DA?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks. I think we're missing a couple of things here about the New England Patriots.
Yes, sir.
First of all, they're not lighting up the scoreboard. They're not steamrolling their opponents, so they need to spy on the Bengals so they can run up the score and not be embarrassed toward the end of the season.
But, I mean, you think that they can't run up the score on a 1-12 team, the worst team in football?
On any given Sunday.
You really think that they worry about losing to the Bengals?
I think at this point they are.
Jeez. I mean, I know that the Patriots are struggling right now, but I got a hard time believing that the defending Super Bowl champions need advance footage to spy on the worst team in football. I don't know. Again, maybe that's naive. I got a hard time believing they would go down this road knowing they've been nailed before by Spygate to try to spy on a 1-12. This is the worst team in football. It'd be one thing if this was the Bills. I'd be like, well, yeah, they're kind of scared. But Bengals, that's a tough sell for me. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Want to keep getting your phone calls on the Patriot story and a Trash Tuesday. We'll continue that next. Also, last night, Monday Night Football, the Eagles survived. But did they get credit for beating a 2-win Giants team? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your posts.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Have we mentioned there's so many different ways on social media you can connect with us? On Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. On Instagram, follow me, at Damon Amendo. On YouTube, watch our videos every single day and subscribe to my YouTube channel for the travel series Nomad. We appreciate you being with us. And the player of the week brought to you by Granger, taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Jimmy Garoppolo. 26 of 35, 349, 4 touchdowns to the win over the Saints on Sunday. The Niners' top-notch defense lit up for 46 points, so Garoppolo needed to answer all of those points and did so on that final drive to win the game, especially the big pass to George Kittle. Kittle was a monster on that play. The player of the week brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Granger.com. AJ's in Richmond, Virginia, listening on CBS Sports Radio as we discuss the Bengals and Patriots saga with the videotaping. What's up, AJ?
Yes, sir. First off, happy holidays. Love listening to your show.
Thank you, sir. Happy holidays.
Yes, sir. I'm just calling because I'm just trying to figure out why no one's so more upset about this Patriots situation. Outside looking in, it's more like the Patriots are the husband and the NFL's the wife, and this guy won't leave his cheating wife alone or what have you. You know, it's repeated the same thing over and over again, and no one seems to care. I mean, you get caught cheating once, your excuse is, my buddy was doing something, and I'm filming my buddy having fun with the lady, but I'm not actually involved in it. I felt up a lady, but I didn't really mean anything from it, and I'll change my ways. And then we come back years later. Here we are with the same excuse after your wife's forgiven you. I mean, when is this okay?
Okay, so you do believe that the Patriots were spying on the Bengals?
I don't believe that it may have been for any gain or what have you, but at this point, you can't.
Well, I agree with that, that you obviously have been guilty before, and so everything you do is tainted. And if you don't believe the Patriots have done underhanded things, masters of the dark arts for years, I mean, you are truly naive. They are, and I've talked about this before, our nation's greatest criminals. They have found the line and pushed it and pressed it and walked over it and walked back from it time and time and time and time again. And it has helped them, or else they wouldn't do it. So there's no doubt in my mind that their intentions are oftentimes not pure, if ever. I just have a tough time thinking this one through. They've been nailed and docked a first-round draft pick before for videotaping. They're playing the 1-12 Bengals. Is this when you're going to cheat? Now, if you want to tell me, DA, this is just still what they do. They still are doing it. They're finding excuses to spy on everybody, and they just happen to get caught this time. Okay, I can listen to that. But do I think that the Patriots are so desperate right now that they started taping opponents again, starting with the Bengals? That's a tough one for me to swallow. And for those of you that are saying like AJ, hey, the NFL's seen them be guilty in the past. You got to nail them. That's what Deflategate was. Did the NFL really feel like deflating footballs a slight bit was a big deal? No, because Aaron Rodgers had talked about deflating his own footballs and said he preferred it. They don't think that the level to which the Patriots deflated the footballs was a big deal. What they found was you pushed the boundaries again, you did it underhandedly, you didn't tell anybody, you had a whole exercise with this, you had ball boys doing it. We got to nail you. You keep doing this type of stuff. Did they actually think the deflating of the footballs was a big deal? No. It was that the Patriots built an economy out of it. There was an ecosystem. And by the way, the Patriots fired their two ball boys, never to come back from again, never to be heard from again, which goes to show you just how guilty they were. So they do have a history here. But that's what Deflategate was. They docked him a first-round draft pick again and suspended Tom Brady for a month for deflating footballs. That was the original, look, we're going to nail you for the last 10 years of this stuff after we already nailed you for Spygate. Last night, the Philadelphia Eagles survive in overtime against the New York Giants. And I got to say, fireworks? I mean, I know that this is, I guess, par for the course at Lincoln Financial Field, but fireworks last night felt a little overboard for beating a 2-11 Giants team in overtime. I think last night in Philadelphia, they should have saved the fireworks. It should have been, thank you, drive home safely. And for those of you in the drunk tank right now, you'll be tended to by 2 a.m., we promise. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. Fireworks last night? Bar set pretty low. Number two, the Eagles get no credit for last night. None. Zero credit. The Giants are a diaper fire. The roster stinks. Eli Manning proved in half number two how old and decrepit he is. Pat Shurmur is the ultimate bozo. And the Eagles are fighting for a division title. You get no credit for taking the Giants to overtime at home. None. The only bright side I see last night was that when it mattered, two late drives, one in the end of the fourth quarter, one in overtime, Carson Wentz went down the field and got the points. And there's been so many questions about Carson Wentz and where's his confidence at and where's his command of the offense at and is he ever going to get it back, that even with depleted weapons, tons of injuries, and nobody that you've even heard of as his targets besides Zach Ertz, that he went down the field, got the points when he needed to. Okay, that's a good thing. It's way better than the alternative of Carson Wentz throwing a pick six or Carson Wentz throwing incomplete on fourth and six and them losing, embarrassingly so, to the Giants. But I can't wave any pom-pom last night for the Eagles. I mean, that first half was total dreadful play. And the only reason they won that game was because they were playing a quarterback that suddenly had 28 minutes of football in his body and didn't have 60, because the Giants' offense in the second half was beyond deplorable. Beyond deplorable. I mean, forget it. It was just like 3 yards, cloud of dust. Let's try to run out the second half. That was Pat Shurmur's idea, besides a flea flicker, which you know that he was watching Niners and Saints on Sunday and was like, Oh, that's kind of cool. We should try that. Yeah, all right. That's cool. I like the replay showing that the Eagles bit on the fake from Saquon. Yeah, but you need a quarterback to actually throw it. Disgraceful. I can't give the Eagles any credit last night. And you know what? They might end up hosting a playoff game. So, Mraz, do you think the Patriots were spying on the Bengals?
Yes, so to speak. I think they have been spying all along with this Do Your Job documentary. And I think that while they may not have needed to spy on the Bengals, and may not have really used what they had to spy on the Bengals because they feel they could beat them anyway, I think you have to follow this thing all the way through, and I think they've been doing this every single week.
Yeah, but when you say the Do Your Job documentary, I mean, I don't know all the profiles they've done, but if they profile like the cafeteria guy or the janitor, okay, they're not spying at anybody.
Look, I get it. There's a big elaborate thing here where they're going to pinpoint parts of this team and everybody has a job. The point is, the fact that this team that shuts down everything from a media perspective now is filming a self-centered documentary, even if parts of this have nothing to do with the teams they're playing, the fact that you could send out camera crews and who knows how many other camera crews have been out there, B-roll and all this other stuff, seems to me that everything doesn't get past Belichick. There has to be an underlying theme here. I think this show is much like a laundry room, or what do you call those places? Where you do laundry?
Yeah, okay. A laundromat?
A laundromat. They are the laundromat for mobsters. This show is where Belichick cleans his money, so to speak.
Okay.
This is how...
Do Your Job is where they launder the money.
Is exactly. That's the equivalent here. Do Your Job is all nice for the eyes and everything, but the real job is you pull back the curtains. That's where the mobsters hide their money. That's how Belichick's cheating now.
So you think that he cared about getting footage of the Bengals sideline?
I think, yes, I do.
Wow.
I think, though, he gets footage of everybody's sideline some way. I know what you're saying. This was a scout, advanced scout. They're doing this. But I get the feeling this goes on every week where they're sending crews somewhere and there's some kind of B-roll. They're picking up something. I think it was just so blatantly obvious this time that they got nailed, even if that's a team they don't need to beat.
Well, I do think here's the mistake. If the Patriots are really doing this on the up and up, and they're like, look, we're just doing a profile on this scout. We're doing a profile on the cafeteria guy. We're doing a profile on the guy that loads the equipment onto the planes. They have to tell the Bengals, we're filming your sideline.
Of course they have to.
You have to at least do that. You have to tell, yes, okay, we got the credential through the Browns, but hey, by the way, Cincinnati, we've got a film crew here, and we'll be taping your sidelines for this profile. The fact that they didn't tell the Bengals, that's a terrible look knowing that you're the Patriots.
And leave it to the bumbling Browns to be the team that the Patriots could easily just be, oh, all right, yeah, we'll get you in Cleveland, no problem. They're not looking anywhere.
I don't know. It's a tough sell for me, though, to think that they freaking care about the Bengal sideline. Oh, my God. I mean, how desperate would you have to be? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll continue taking your phone calls. The Patriots matter. Also, last night's Monday Nighter. And when we come back, Gary Stokin's going to join us to talk about LSU Oklahoma. He's the CEO of the Peach Bowl. So we'll talk about that big matchup coming up here next as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
The DA show is highly intellectual. We're all the way from no IQ to the high IQ. We are cutting edge on this show. Cutting edge.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us at a Fine Trash Tuesday. Send us your trashes. What's aggravating you? We'll read through those coming up through the show on Twitter, DA on CBS, or hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. There's so many ways you can listen to the show across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our terrestrial affiliates. Sirius XM, channel 206. You can listen to us every single morning. Also, stream us. Use the radio.com app or the CBS Sports app to check us out every single day, or watch us on the simulcast at watchda.com. College football playoffs are set, and one of the semifinals is in Atlanta at the Peach Bowl. The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl features number one LSU and number four Oklahoma. How about the quarterbacks of the offense to this matchup? But I was very happy to see the committee make LSU number one. I thought they deserved it over Ohio State. Joining us in studio, CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Gary Stokin. Gary, good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Great time of the year, huh?
It's a great time.
Yeah.
It's a little bittersweet because it means college football season's over. It's coming to a close. But it's always so exciting because I love the bowl season, even when it's not the playoffs. And these two playoff matchups and three of the four playoff teams being undefeated is an incredible field, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable when you think about the seasons they have to go through and the games they have to play. And when you talk about the quarterbacks, well, all four players that are playing in the playoffs are going to be up in the national show for the Heisman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got some wonderful players, great teams, great stories. Our story, you know, Jalen Hurts comes back to Atlanta to play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium where he won the SEC championship for Alabama.
Was a hero.
You know? Two quarterbacks who are in the Heisman race, but two of the top quarterbacks in the country. So, I mentioned to you earlier, we're thinking of opening the roof at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the fireworks that we're probably going to see.
How much offense could there be in this game? LSU, Joe Burrow, and then, of course, the Oklahoma offense that has always been, for the last couple of years, dynamite. I mean, we might see 100 points scored in this game.
Well, they averaged 91 points together. They averaged 91 points. And offense, 554.4 leads the nation with LSU, and 554.2 is what Oklahoma. So they're number two. So offense are incredible. We talked earlier, I think the defense are going to be the real key. You know, who can step up and make some stops?
Who will it affect you guys at all that LSU fans were just in the building last week for the SEC title game, asking them to come back for a semifinal?
Hey, LSU fans, they may have stayed in Atlanta all week. Who knows? I mean,
might stay there for the next month.
Yeah, I tell you what, they're so excited. We talked to Coach Orgeron, and we just had their administration yesterday in Atlanta, and they're so excited. Obviously, when you're in a semifinal game, that speaks for itself. And they're in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which they love. They've had success in, and they know. So they feel a little bit more comfortable in it. And so, that's part of the playoff, you know, committee. They took the number one team and give them an advantage. That's the only advantage they get is where they play. And in LSU's case, Atlanta makes sense.
So you guys knew you were going to be a semifinal all year, but you didn't know if you were going to get the 1-4 or the 2-3.
No, you're exactly right. We didn't know. It's funny, back when the CFP started in 2015 and we had the first game, Ole Miss TCU, on that Sunday or Saturday, I called Bill Hancock. I said, Bill, are you going to call me and let me know who we have? He said, Gary, you will find out when the rest of America finds out.
Wow.
So this Sunday, we were at Sport and Social in Atlanta, and we're all waiting, like the kids were waiting to see what bowls they were going to, and we found out we had number one LSU and number four Oklahoma.
Wow. Gary Stokin joins us, CEO of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So take us behind the scenes. Do you guys as a committee and you personally watch those playoff rankings as intently as the rest of us do because you don't know who's going to end up in your game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go through the process every week. Now, prior to the CFP, this is my 22nd year, I used to be in charge of who we would select. We would select between SEC and ACC. So, I mean, I'd go through all the analytics. And now, I've been through, I don't know if you ought to do it if you haven't been through it, in Gaylord to go through the process with the CFP.
Yeah, I have not done that personally, but I know people that have done that.
I've done it, and the analytics they have are incredible. The amount of information you get and the way they go about ranking the top 25, you come in with your top 25 list, as is everybody else on the committee. You input your top three, and everybody else does, and the computer will spit out who's 1, 2, and 3. And then you debate it. You know, if anybody thinks, well, no, I think this person – And you debate it, you get to the top three, and then you put the next three in. It's really a good process to get to a top 25, and they've got it right every year, I believe.
This year particularly, I think they got it right, and it wasn't easy, but I think putting LSU 1 over Ohio State was right. And look, Dabo, I understand being a little cranky. He went undefeated. He's the defending national champs, and they're the third best team of the country. But I do think that that's right because – what they almost did, stub their toe against UNC, LSU didn't, and Ohio State didn't. So I understand being a little perturbed by that, but I think the committee did get that right, don't you?
Well, no doubt about it. When you sit in that committee room, it has nothing to do with last year, has only what you did that week, and that's how they rank them. And after Clemson, and I know Dabo well, he's a good friend, and he used it to help, you know, get the kids fired up on the team and keep them going. Because
And he's still using it.
And he's still using it. That's exactly yeah. right. He's going to use it all the way through.
He got that right.
And but they got it right. I think, you know, LSU deserves one, Ohio State two, Clemson three. Any one of them could win this thing. And at the end of the day, now you have a shot. There's four teams, two games. Just win your games. Doesn't matter what the rankings are now.
College football playoff, people worried that it would mitigate the bowl system and render some bowls irrelevant, at least for you guys in the playoff. And maybe you can talk to this when you're not in the playoff. It feels like a boon. I mean, you were saying that you guys won't have a ticket available for this game.
Right, yeah. When you have a semifinal game, it's tremendous, obviously. All the eyes of college football are upon you. When you don't have a semifinal game, you've got to work hard to sell the tickets. And you got to sell tickets locally. You can't depend on the two teams to bring the crowd. And we do an awfully good job with that. We've sold out 20 of our last 22 games. Now we're in a great city. You know, a lot of people have said Atlanta is the capital of college football because we have so many fans of different teams living in Metro Atlanta, and it's easy to get to.
It's the heart of the SEC. It's easy to get to. Exactly. There's a million transplants that love college football from all over. The College Football Hall of Fame is there. The stadium was the Georgia Dome now. I mean, Mercedes-Benz is ridiculous. So, yeah, it does feel like kind of the hub of college football.
God, I got to hire you, man. That's great. That's a great promotion. But, no, you're right. It looks like NASCAR with all the flags of all the schools. Around 285 and 85 and 20 yeah. On a weekend.
Yeah.
So we're really blessed. We've got great corporate support. And so Atlanta's, you know, we think it is the capital of college football.
So this is interesting because there's going to be a lot of people that are listening to this show right now that are thinking about going to bowl games this year, following their teams. And I think we think a successful bowl is when you get a big alumni base, a big fan base to come travel to the bowl game. And you don't want the smaller fan bases, et cetera. But what you're saying is bowl committees actually focus more on selling tickets locally than they do in getting a larger alumni base from a school that's playing.
Yeah, you have to be successful. I mean, we'll sell 35,000 tickets locally, and the two teams in a semifinal game get 13,000 tickets, which includes their band tickets. So once you put that together, you're close to a sellout, and that's the key, is selling local tickets. And then when you're not a CFP playoff, as we were in the past. We weren't a part of the BCS, but we are a part of the CFP. You know, I always say you got to maximize the three T's. You got to maximize title, sponsorship money. You got to maximize tickets, and you got to maximize all the travelers coming in. And if you do that, you got a chance to be successful. And we've got some great bowl games out there. I mean, Michigan's playing Alabama. Minnesota's playing Auburn. There's some great games out there. And if you love college football, when you're off for the holidays, great time to watch. Yeah. ESPN does more business during these 2 weeks of bowl season than any other time during the year. I mean, a bowl game that's maybe a nondescript bowl game, and I hate to say that because they're all interesting, you know, we'll do a 1-1-5, and an NBA semifinal, we'll do a 1.
I know.
It's incredible.
Bowl ratings are through the roof, which is why they just keep expanding, which is why there's these little bowls that pop up every single year, but they're always going to have a television contract because they do really good TV ratings. Gary Stokin joins us, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl CEO and president. What was the decision-making behind when the playoff was on December 31st versus moving that?
Great question, yeah. You know, Bill Hancock wanted to create a new kind of celebratory weekend or holiday. Knowing that the sugar and the rose were always going to stay on January 1st. And so we looked at 31st and 1st. And it worked well for the first 3 years of the cycle. The second 3 years of the cycle, 31st started to fall on the weekdays, so a Tuesday, a Wednesday. Well, a lot of people don't want to take off Tuesday and Wednesday to come to a bowl game at the end of the year. So we said, the bowls, the six New Year's Six bowl games, ESPN and CFP met in Dallas, and we said, look, NFL is known for Sundays. That's when NFL plays. College football is known for Saturdays. Let's move all of our other games, other than the Rose and the Sugar, on Saturdays. And so that's why we're playing this year, December 28th, on Saturday, with the two semifinal games. And then the Cotton Bowl will lead into us.
And it made a lot of sense to move it off of December 31st because there was just a lot of people that had other plans that day, family plans, spouse plans, party plans, and then they just couldn't get around a TV to watch 8 hours of college football. So.
No, it's a great point. It's a great point. It's easy to travel, and you get a bigger TV audience.
Yeah, that's right. Gary Stokin joining us, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl CEO and president. Well, you guys got a good one here. I like LSU. I think we all like LSU to win. Oklahoma might be able to put up a few points, but LSU is the class of the class right now, so you guys got what I think are going to be the national champions playing in this game.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I think you guys.
Ed Orgeron likes hearing that.
And you're going to have the Heisman Trophy winner in this game as well because Joe Burrow is going to lock this thing up this weekend.
Be our second Heisman. We had Johnny Manziel a few years ago. So, yeah, two great quarterbacks.
The legend of Burrow is burgeoning, and it is exciting. And this kid has had an amazing season. Gary, it's been cool to talk catch up with you, man. Thanks
great
so much.
Great to be with you, DA. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Coming up here after the break, Randy Cross is going to join us from CBS Sports Network. We'll talk to him about how he thought that the rankings came down to the college football playoff matchups, also some other bowl season situations to talk about, and some coaching situations around college football to break down. So College Football Hall of Famer Randy Cross is going to join us coming up here next, and more on the Patriots and Bengals situation coming up in hour number two as well. This is CBS Sports Radio, DA with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.